There are three Greek words that can be translated love. The one is eros. I don't think you find that in the Bible, but it's an erotic love between husband and wife and lovers. Then the second one is phileo. That means love or friendship, a special closeness of friends, loving closeness. And it's interchangeable with another word, which is called agape. Agape is a special love. The Bible uses it as a love of God. You know, when the Bible talks about God's love, it's agape. But sometimes they're interchangeable. When Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "I phileo you," and so on. I have the love for you. And then it's interchangeable. They can almost be interchangeable. But Jesus used the word agape when he said this in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love," that's the word agape, "one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this," now listen to this statement, "by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love," that agape type of love, "for one another." Now there's another word that's all together with one word, okay? And it's called philadelphia. Phileo, it would have been philadelphia, but it's philadelphia. And it means, and it's translated here. Now, first I want to emphasize, "by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another." Well, what does it mean if we don't have love? Well, then it's not a sign. The sign of Christians' fellowship, the sign of Christians is love. And why is that? Because if I have Christ in me and you have Christ in you, for me not to love you, to have a special feeling of love and care for you, I don't mean love, erotic love, no. I'm talking about a special love and care for you. What's wrong? Now, that means I don't recognize Christ in you? You have the Holy Spirit, I have the Holy Spirit. Well, shouldn't we be loving to one another? But you'd be surprised how many people, they don't have love for others. They don't have love only for their own little cult, their own little group. But they don't love you're not in our group. You're not in our group. Please, brethren of the Guardian Ministries group, whatever you want to call yourself, we don't have that. We love all Christians, whatever group they're in. And if you say you love Jesus Christ, we love you. Of course we do. We're going to love you. We're going to care for you. You're one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how we do. Now, we will not put up with somebody who comes in and tries to hurt our people or steal from them or molest them or something like that. No, we don't put up with that. Nobody wants that. I don't care what group you are. Okay? But there's another word. This is called philadelphia. It's translated here in the Bible in the New American Standard Version. Some call it, the brotherly love or, something like that. But here's what the way it's translated in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. "Since you have in obedience to the truth, since you've purified your souls, in obedience to the truth, you have purified your psuche, your mind, your soul, for a sincere philadelphia." And it's translated in, that word is translated in the New American Standard Version as love of the brethren. Now, it's a more modern translation, and they can also say it like love of brothers, but love of the brethren means love of brothers and sisters. It's not just love of the brother. It's not just brotherly love. It can be sisterly love, brothers and sisters. Now, I have a sister, and I have two brothers, and I love my brothers, and I love my sister. They're all part of my family, my original family from my mother and father. They are my siblings, okay? When you are a Christian, you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere Philadelphia, the love of the brethren. That's a special love. You know, in the New Testament, there's a statement that says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, or to all people, means men meaning people, men and women, but especially those of the household of faith, especially those. It's not the only people we love, but it's the person that we know is walking this world, on God's way in a world that is going contrary to God's way. They are having the same struggles. The devil is after them. Satan would love to accuse them. They are having the same struggles that you and I do. Love of the brethren. Fervently. Okay, now let me read this now. First Peter 1 and verse 22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere Philadelphia, love of the brethren, fervently. Then now he says, since you've purified your souls for this love of the brethren, fervently then, love one another from the heart. From the heart means it's not pretense. It's a true love of one another in the church. It's a true love. It's not a fake love. Fervently do it. Make sure it's done strongly and fervently from the heart. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you have the same word, Philadelphia, in chapter 4 and verse 9. Now, as to the Philadelphia, you have no need for anyone to write to you. He's talking to the church at Thessalonica. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Now, you're taught by God, you know? Something is in you. God's Spirit in you has taught you to love one another. Which is what? The sign that you're Christ's disciples. If you have love one toward another. If you don't have that love, you don't have brotherly love, you don't have the sisterly love, the love of the brethren, you don't have it, well, maybe there's something wrong. Why? Love of the brethren is so important. And I see this, you see it in some of these things I write. When I read to you, one of them says, you know, please thank you for praying for me. Thank you for being there for me. Because but then they said, and I'm praying for all of you. I'm not just not praying for you. I'm praying for you too. Love of the brethren. And in Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, let Philadelphia continue. Let it continue. Let Philadelphia, let the love of the brethren move on, continue on. Yes. Philadelphia. Now, when you have Philadelphia, what is it that you do or not do? There are a whole number of things that will stamp you as having Philadelphia. And if you do something opposite from this, maybe you don't have Philadelphia. Maybe you don't have the love of the brethren. But look at Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love one another, okay? We're supposed to have the love of the brethren, and God has shown the people there in Thessalonica to love one another. Well, Romans 14, verse 13, therefore let us not judge one another. You know, you can have churches, they judge you on this, they judge you on that. What about this? Well, yeah, what about that? And so on. Let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Don't put a stumbling block. Don't do things that are outrageous or make people upset or try to show off how whatever you are, how free you are, and then so on. He doesn't want us to do that. And look at this one. James chapter 5, verse 9. What do you do if you have the Philadelphia? Do not complain, brethren, against one another. Complain. Now, in a lot of cases, ministers who hear complaints from one brother to the other, if they tolerate these complaints, I want to hear from you. Oh, what is so-and-so? Tell me. Encourage complaints against one another. That's a terrible sign. This is a terrible ministry. Okay? You don't do that. You don't have complaints. You don't tolerate them. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. That's James 5, verse 9. Don't complain, brethren, against one another. But I've seen leaders in even organizations encourage it to complain one another, so that they could, you know, be the top person, and they could use their authority, and they can go after somebody else. This is terrible. You don't tolerate it. There's a proverb that says when the king tolerates that kind of thing, and he tolerates being scoundrel and lying and all that, then everybody's going to do it. And that's exactly, I've seen that happen in organizations. But what should we do? If you have the love of the brethren, what should we do? Here it is in James 5 and verse 16, right down the chapter, seven more verses. Therefore, confess your sins. It means faults. You're missing them out. To one another. You've got difficulties. You've had trouble overcoming something. You have and pray for one another, so that you may be healed or saved better. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Pray for one another. Confess, I've got this problem. I've got this disease. I've got this cancer. I've got this thing. To one another, confess it. Tell somebody your issues and let somebody pray for you. Now, once again, look at Romans 14, verse 13. Do not judge one another. One of the reasons a lot of people won't tell you is because they don't want to be judged. Oh, well, you must be a bad person. Oh, you didn't take care of yourself. Oh, you're this way. Oh, you ate the wrong foods. We don't want to be judged. And you shouldn't judge, because God is the judge of all, and he's standing at the door. Don't complain. Don't judge. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be, and here it is, if you have the love of the brethren, if you have the love of God, the Philadelphia, listen to this, be devoted to one another. Devoted in brotherly, in Philadelphia. They say, again, here's that word, Philadelphia. This is Romans 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in Philadelphia, the love of the brethren. Give preference to one another in honor. Preference. I prefer you. I have preference for you. I want you to go ahead of me. I want you to have this ahead of me. I want you to do this before me. I want you. You should go. No. You help yourself. You I just want you to have it. Give preference to one another. Okay? Pray for one another. Be devoted to one another in Philadelphia. And then in Romans chapter 14, and this is so strong in Paul's writing, Romans 14, verse 19. So then, we pursue the things that make for peace. If we have love for the brethren, we have a love for the, we pursue the things that make for peace and building up. Building, the Greek word means, you know, to build up something, like you're building a house or building it up. Building up one another, strengthening one another, making one another stronger. We pursue the things that make for peace. And Paul, they had a trouble. They were judging one another on the basis of what they ate, and, you know, whether they ate meat or whether they didn't, whether they were vegetarians, whether they were this or that. And they, well, these people judge those people judge these. No, don't judge one another. So then, we pursue the things that make for peace, okay, and the building up of one another, because that's what we have. We have love for one another. We have the love of the brethren. Verse 20. Do not tear down the work of God. Now, we are all being up. You know, we want to grow. Are you growing in grace and knowledge? I want you to grow in grace and knowledge. God's favors and knowledge about God. I try to present things that give you a little bit more knowledge about God and God's word, because that helps you, strengthening you in the word. And okay, so we're being built up, right? We want to be built up. We want to pursue the things for peace, and we want to be built up. And then Paul says, do not destroy the work of God, what God is doing in somebody's life, for the sake of food, what they eat, for the sake of food. Well, I've seen people destroy one another. How about this? A church that made a rule about makeup. Destroy one another for the sake of what somebody puts on their face. And throw people out. Throw a woman out of the church because she wouldn't conform to a ruling on makeup. Throw them out of the church. Now, all these churches all think that they're the place for salvation. The only place you can get your salvation here is our church. You know, you can't get it anywhere else. You can only get it here. And so if you don't follow our rules, then we're going to destroy the work of God for something that you've put on your face, put on your skin. That's how important it was. How ridiculous. I was in the Akron church years ago, and this young man was there as well. I had baptized his father, but he was there, and all of a sudden we had the second in command coming to visit the Akron church. He was going to be there and in this particular group, and he was coming. And this young man had heard him on the radio. He was 14 years old. This young man was 14 years old. There were a couple of other young men there at the same church. One of them was one of the minister's sons. I mean, two of them were one of the minister's sons. Anyhow, they came to the Akron church. And Here, the executive vice president was coming to the Akron church, the voice of the radio program, the face of the television program, and so on. And this young man was so eager. He said, I had heard this person, I had listened to him, and now he was coming to our local church in the northern building in Akron or whatever it was, and he was going to be there. And when I saw him, I saw other people standing in line to meet him, and I thought I would go. I'm going to read what he says. Now here he was, coming to Akron in person. I could hardly contain myself with anticipation. Three area congregations combined services for a big occasion, over 1,000 people. Before the services began, I saw other people going up to shake this man's hand with temerity, meaning with some braveness, some boldness. With temerity, I was bold enough to go up to shake his hand myself. I had actually shaken the hand of the voice of the program, of the face of the program. Returning to my father and my brother, I waited eagerly for his sermon. Now, this was before services, and so now services were starting. So here he was, always an interesting speaker. So I couldn't wait to hear him, and I had shaken his hand, and I was... Well, his words got my attention, but in a different way than I had dreamed when I had shaken his hand. I had not the slightest idea that there was anything wrong with my hair, my hairstyle. I knew the church did not want men to wear long hair. I knew that was true. And I was anxious to please, as any kid in the church would be. But unwittingly, I didn't know that I was breaking another one of the important commands of the church, forbidding hair on the forehead. However, this rule had never appeared in any printed literature, nor had anyone ever told me about it. So in keeping with the normal 1960s style of my classmates in junior high school, I wore my hair sort of combed sideways and down in front of my forehead like this, came across his forehead. An obviously upset vice president hardly got into his prepared message topic at all. A young kid, he said, had come up to shake his hand and smiled and peered out from under the hair combed over his forehead. He used this example, that is me, as an example as a launch pad for an extended tirade against youthful rebellion, willful rotten attitudes among the church youth, hippies, long hair, and the deteriorating state of the world that this reflected. I shriveled as he went on and on with, you know, with his power of rhetoric. I didn't have a single rebellious thought in my heart at all. It was only in hearing his views that I realized that something must have been wrong. I didn't even know it. Well, there were a couple of students, and shortly thereafter, after services on the next weekday, he was out there. Of course, the first thing he did was get his hair cut and cut back. I was there, and as services were over, we got in the car together, and the vice president said to me, "You need to talk to these kids about their hair." I said, "Okay." Okay, meaning I heard you, but I was not going to talk to these kids. There were two or three others. They had their hair the same way. I was not going to talk to them about their hair. Are we going to make an issue of their hair? For the sake, are we going to tear down the work of God that these kids are wanting to be a part of the church? They've got a good attitude. We're going to tear it down because of the way they have their hair. Or for girls, because they wore their skirt above the knee. Or for this, or because some woman has her hair, you know, a little shorter than we're gonna just make a big issue on all these minors. We majored in the minor things. Terrible. Yes. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of, you name it, food, makeup, hair length, skirt length, high heels, this heel, that heel, this thing, that thing. Combing your hair forward over a little bit. Now, he didn't have it all the way down. He had a little, you know, coming across like that. He didn't hear. I saw those kids. I knew what they did. They were all very polite, nice kids, 14, 15 years old, and, you know, wanted to play the guitars or something. No, we're not going to do that. We don't want to do that and destroy the work that God is working to build these people up, okay? So let's pursue peace and the things that make for building up, make for peace and building up. Pursue the things that make for peace and building up of one another. Romans 15, verse 7. Therefore, accept. Now, what is accept? The word accept means take along with you. Accept them. Accept. Come along. We accept you. Come on with us. Come on. Accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Were you great? Were you perfect? Were you just super wonderful? You knew everything. You did everything right. Now everything. No, you didn't always do it. So here's what we do. And then in Romans 16, verse 16, greet. Now, the word greet means to welcome. Greet. You know, I want to greet you, welcome you, welcome you, welcome you to the services, greet you, welcome you. Greet one another, welcome one another. With what? Paul says, with a holy kiss. That means with a genuine feeling of affection. Now, you want to take it literally, then you have to take it literally. We can take this as a custom at the times. You know, in the Far East and Middle East, they greet one another. They kiss one another. Kiss them on this cheek, kiss on you. You've seen shows on television with the Middle Eastern culture there. And they'll kiss one another. And the men do too. You know, they don't kiss. They don't kiss on the lips. Nobody does that. But they kiss here and kiss here. They welcome one another with a genuine feeling of affection. All the churches of Christ greet you. Welcome you. They all welcome you. They greet you. They send a welcome. That's what you do when you have Philadelphia. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 20. All the brethren greet you. They welcome you. They send greetings. Welcome you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. There it is again in 1 Corinthians 16. The church, the brothers and sisters, have a pure, it's not erotic, it's a pure caring and love for the welfare, for the growth, for the development, the spiritual development of one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and verses 22 through 24. Listen to this one. If anyone does not love the Lord, the Kurios, that means Jesus. If anyone does not love the Kurios, he is accursed. Anathema. Now, the word accursed, that means something that's devoted to a voluntary offering. A votive offering that is a set aside. It's dedicated, a votive offering set aside. It's ready to be offered. It's going to be sacrificed. Okay? He will be set in that condition if he does not love the Lord. He is to be anathema, accursed. Okay? A Maranatha means our Lord will come. And then Paul ends it with, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. My love is going to be with you all in Christ Jesus. That's how Paul ends it. You can see Paul's attitude. Well, what is Paul's attitude in the church? Wants the church to love one another. Has an attitude himself of loving the brothers. He wants the church to develop. He wants it to grow. Okay? And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, he uses the same word, accursed. I'm going to take off on this particular word, accursed. But if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Again, set aside as that votive offering. As we have said before, so say I now again. I'm going to emphasize it. If any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. Comes in with a message that is not the good news, not the true good news. Now, I know a lot of people that they don't even understand. They think the good news is only about a world-ruling government coming to the earth. That's not all that it is. There's the good news of salvation, the good news of grace, of our grace of God, the good news of our salvation, and so on. Yes, these are all part of the good news, and not just a world-ruling government. Everybody knew in the time of Jesus, all the Pharisees and everything knew a world-ruling government was going to come. And that's why they got in trouble. They rebelled against Rome. And they thought this is the time to set up the kingdom and everything was going to go. And they didn't set it up. They got killed. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. If you have the Holy Spirit, you cannot in your heart, I mean, you can use the mouth of words, anybody can mouth words, but you cannot in your heart say with meaning that you believe it, Jesus is accursed. And on the contrary, no one can say Jesus is Lord. He is my master. He is my owner. He's my Lord, except. You cannot say that sincerely, truthfully, dedicatedly, except by the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you can really say those words, that Jesus is my Lord, my master. Well, if you say it, Jesus is your Lord, I say Jesus is my Lord, then we are brothers. We have to love one another. We have to make sure that we're doing the things that make for peace for one another and building up of one another. And then Paul writes once again in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, greet one another with a holy kiss. With affection, with genuine affection. Accept one another. Take along one another with a holy kiss. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. And the flesh is, he named it in chapter 5, the first few, verse 20. The flesh is, you know, fornication, adultery, and so on and so on and so on and so on, and idolatry and greediness and all that. But through love, serve one another. People who have Philadelphia are happy to serve one another. You see it at our festival. People volunteer for this service. They volunteer for that. They say, well, what can I do? What can I do to help make the feast even better for my brothers and sisters? What can I do? Can I do this? Can I sing on stage? Can I help him? We have some men who want to prepare a sermon and say, can I be a part of that? And, we will consider it. What can you do? Serve one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, listen to this. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Listen to that. We with all humility, I don't think, you got to think you're not better than somebody else. You're not greater than they are. You're not more spiritual than they are. You're not something greater than anybody else. With all humility and gentleness. Doesn't mean weakness, means gentleness. Means like a gentle horse. He may be strong, but he's gentle. All gentleness. And with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. In agape, in phileo, in Philadelphia, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Beautiful words. Thick, heavy, strong, meaningful, powerful words. Humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, love. Preserving unity of the Spirit. The Spirit is in you. The Spirit is in that person. If you are a Christian, the Spirit is in you. You can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit to be a Christian. So the Spirit is in you. It's in him. It's in her. We have to preserve that, brothers and sisters. We have to preserve it in a bond of peace. But it takes, what does it take to preserve that? It takes humility. It takes gentleness. It takes patience and tolerance. Not worried about somebody's hairstyle. Not worried about somebody's tie. So worried about somebody's makeup. Not worried about somebody's earrings. Not judging one another for this kind of stuff. Judging one another creates not a bond of peace. It doesn't create unity. It creates division. It creates disruption. It creates aggravation. It creates irritation. It doesn't create unity. And then people want to pull away from one another. Yes. Coming back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere Philadelphia, love of the brethren, then fervently do it. Fervently love one another from the heart. How will people know you're a Christian? How will people know I'm a Christian? How will people know we are? If we have love one toward another. You say, well, no, they're going to know it when they see us keep the holy days, when they see us fast on atonement, when they see us not eating any leavening during the days of unleavened bread. That's when they'll know it. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say because you go to church on Saturday that they're going to know that you are his disciples, the one thing that marked Jesus' disciples was their fervent love for one another. It's marked all through history, even when the persecutors and people at Rome sent people to spy on the Christians, and they said they just love one another, they care for one another. And you know what? People from the outside kind of envy that. A family, and as one of the brethren said, I love that feeling that I have a family around me. Some people are praying for me. Of course we're praying for you. We want to pray for you. We love you. We care for you. We have the love of the brothers. Love of the brothers and sisters. You're part of our family. That's what it means to have Philadelphia. And I want to talk a little bit about how we pray for one another. Okay? How we love one another and pray for one another. And here's the question. Would it be a sin? I'm going to ask this question. I'll cover this in the next sermon. Is it a sin not to pray for one another? I know it's not nice. The question is it a sin for you as a brother not to pray for someone else as a brother or sister in the church? Is it a sin? We'll talk about that in our next sermon. Join me as we end today's service with prayer and a follow-up, a wonderful hymn coming up called Breathe on Me, Breath of God. That's the Holy Spirit, and that's what you want. The Holy Spirit in you, the Spirit that makes you part of the brethren. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we give you thanks, if we thank you for every blessing and wonderful things, for the love that Jesus Christ urged us for, the love that you have shed abroad in our hearts because you have loved us, therefore we have to love one another. We give you thanks for that. We give you thanks for your church, for the great church, not just one little group, not one little group here or there, but for the Christians wherever they are, whoever they are, who have the love, caring, and heart to serve and love another person because of our connection to you and to our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask your blessing now, Father, on all who are looking to you for healing and for help and for comfort and for comforting the bereaved and those who lost loved ones. We do thank you for everything. And we ask your blessing now on our lives as we go forward. Give us increased love, a fervent love for one another and Philadelphia. We give you thanks now in Jesus' name for everything, and bless your holy name for being a loving, wonderful, loving God to all of us. In his name we pray. Amen.